As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
One down.
Wow, wow, wing, wow.
Three to go.
Wow, but down, boom. But wait for it.
I forgot to open my soda. Ah, two sodas. Dos sodos. So let's go double on the Odyssey app. Wherever you get your podcast, he is Ryan Duffy.
Hi.
My name is Pat Duffy. We are joining you just a few days after this Bills 31-7 blue win against the Denver Broncos at home.
This ain't blue.
It's blue.
It's blue.
Outside of the first 2.5 minutes, sure. That was one of the most fun games I've ever attended in my life.
Yeah, that was everything leading up to it was awesome. Getting into the stadium was awesome. Sitting down was awesome. Okay. National anthem was great. And then there was about a period of time for about 7 minutes or so, real-time minutes, where I was like, oh no, this could potentially be bad.
So I've got my season tickets. We went together. Ryan was sitting in my seats with me. And I'm a 20-yard line, Bill sideline, 3 rows back.
No big deal.
I got him during the strike season. Like, I just lucked out.
Right.
But that touchdown from Bo Nix happened literally right in front of us.
Like, oh, Bo!
We watched the ball go, like, over our head. Like, because, you know,
Bo, no!
You know, you expect, again, like, that first drive to not go, like, ideally, right? Yeah. Like, they come out, you know, the Bills' MO, and it's by design, is they come out in the most base defense ever. They let the opposing coaches run their script, and then they adjust, right? But I did not expect a 55-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, after a 3rd-and-9 conversion, too.
Also not good.
Yeah, and that was for more than 9. I think it was like 17 or 18 yards. Like, no bueno. Didn't feel too great about that one.
Okay, we got the negativity out of the way because they scored 31 unanswered points after that.
After that moment, things were going pretty swimmingly. But I will say, like, I don't know if you feel the same way, but things are different when you're at the game versus watching the game on a television.
What do you mean?
Like, I felt like that game, like I didn't realize how dominant the Bills were until after I watched the highlights after I got home, after I dropped your ridiculously inebriated body. We'll get there.
We'll get in there. Yeah.
But I went home, as everyone does, and immediately did not say hi to my wife or children, and immediately went upstairs and lied on my bed and started and typed in Buffalo Bills highlights on YouTube. And after watching that, I was like, whoa. I mean, obviously it showed it on the scoreboard that the Bills were dominant, but like, holy moly, I did not see the same thing live. And obviously it has to do with angles and things like that. Like, James Cook just breaking free. Like, you kind of have to like listen to the crowd a little bit to understand like, oh, that was good, or oh, that was bad. Yeah, I don't know. It just felt completely different.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it was one of those games where, and again, I was with you, so maybe it looks different on television. The expectation with the Bills were the Bills were going to do well.
Sure.
And even with the numbers we're looking at for that game, like, Josh has a ho-hum, 20 of 26, 272-yard, 2-touchdown game.
That's not ho-hum.
No, but that's what I mean. For him, it is. Right? You look at the other playoff performances the kid has had. I mean, I obviously it's not ho-hum. Like, that is an amazing stat line.
Yeah.
But nobody really talked about it.
Yeah.
Nobody on the back end after the game was over was like, did you see what Josh Allen did?
I've actually heard a lot of, like, local media or, like, you know, regional, you know, beat people saying like it really wasn't the greatest game by Josh Allen, and like I guess in the sense that he didn't blow our collective minds in a specific play. Arguably, he kind of did in the Ty Johnson touchdown.
That's the other funny thing, right? Like it's a 4th and 1. You're on the 25. He knows that the play is not working the way that he is. Right? He's got to get rid of this ball. There is a point where he's just standing there.
It's as if he like waves to Ty Johnson, like standing still, completely mad and glitch. Like opponent has disconnected. And he's just waving to Ty Johnson real quick, like, and over a little bit more, like he's trying to have him scratch his back. It's like, here, there, stay right there. I'm going to throw it to you.
No, I think Josh Allen is the human equivalent of heroin because...
Oh, yeah?
Well, let me put it this way. I've never tried heroin, but here's what I'm going with, right? Like, you know, the first time you see him do those amazing things, it's jaw-dropping. Mm-hmm. But then... because he does amazing things so consistently, you need to keep upping the amazing thing for you to feel that same feeling.
So we're all chasing that Josh Allen dragon.
I mean, we kind of are. Like, we watched him catch his own pass and then dive into the pylon.
He didn't do a backflip, so it ain't cool.
No, but I mean, we're kind of at that point. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, I don't know what I could see Josh Allen do now where I would say that's the greatest thing I've ever seen Josh Allen do.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's like heroin.
Kind of is. Kind of is.
So we're told.
James Cook, another dominant day. 5 yards of carry, 120 yards, a touchdown. 19 is his long, which also is amazing. It's not like he had like 170-yard carry and everything else was, you know, right. I mean, he had a consistently good day. All the running backs did well. The Bills brought the big boys in.
But the running game? We're talking about the running. But the Broncos defense.
What?
The Broncos defense so cool. It's all fun, the big boys. Big boys in the pie in the trenches. Oh, they're so good.
Gash.
I mean, yeah, look, man. I mean,
any game, any game.
Like,
I'm not trying to poke the bear.
You're not trying to poke the bear as you just made
a big boy in your trenches.
No, I don't even care about poking the bear. I mean, the Bills made a concerted effort to run the ball. They had their big boys out.
For sure.
Oh, they were running 6-man offensive line.
Dude, I love that so much that they're like, hey, we're good with just 5. Hey, what's that over there? 6 offensive linemen. His name's Alec or Will or whatever. I don't know. But his last name's Anderson, and he's coming in to make you eat your own breakfast.
On the opposite side of the game, the Bills defense completely shut down the Broncos offense after that first drive.
Yeah.
I mean, Bo Nix, that pass was what, 55 yards? The touchdown pass?
49.
Something like that? Okay, yeah. Well, he finishes with 144. Yeah. So on the drive after that opening drive, he doesn't break 100. Bo Nix, also the Broncos' leading rusher at 43 yards. So combined, Bo Nix, their leading passer and their leading rusher, did not break 200 total yards. Yep. No touchdowns. The Bills' defensive line got to him twice.
That's pretty good. And the secondary did pretty well, too. But I will say, Micah Hyde did not do well. So well, in fact, that anyone who has listened to our show for the last couple weeks, that is a fresh, crisp dollar bill that I just let sit on Pat's desk for a little bit, and that's going right back in the wallet.
You realize that's not how betting works, because that's just your dollar you're getting back.
I'm getting my money back.
Well,
betting for me, it actually doesn't even go that way. So it's pretty much, this is the best win I'm going to get all season.
I was shocked. You were right. I was wrong. I am very surprised they are using Micah Hyde as just like a player coach, because why would you not just sign him as a coach?
Right.
Why would you put him on the roster?
Probably pay him less money as a practice squad player than you would on the coaching staff.
Highly doubt that.
I know, I'm kidding.
Highly doubt that.
I'm kidding.
So, I mean, look, everything you wanted to happen happened. The Bills score 31 unanswered points. They face a little bit of resiliency. They get out pretty healthy. We'll see what's going on with Ray Davis.
Yeah, Ray Davis. He's in concussion. Taron got banged up a little bit, but obviously finished the game. I didn't see an injury report.
So I saw this morning, so it would look like, I didn't see Taron on there, so it looks like he's okay, but...
that's great.
Anywho. Yeah, it's everything you would have wanted. I will ask you this before we get into what I want to talk about.
Ooh, question and answer period.
Was there anything that surprised you about that game on Sunday?
Nothing standing out to me. No, I mean, it's hard for me to gauge it from a, like, surprising standpoint from being at the game. I would say, like, I'm surprised that they went for a pass on that 4th and 1.
The Bills.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking about the Ty Johnson touchdown.
Yeah, so, like, in a microcosm of, like, gasp, I'm surprised that they didn't Josh Mosh that just to keep the drive alive. And when he literally took it from shotgun and, like, actually snapped the ball, I was like, oh, okay, like, he's just going to wait
sprint for... as hard as he
exactly.
can.
Exactly, he's going to go to the corner of the boundary, and then that's that. And then he's just kind of hanging out for what seemed like and was actually was, like, 45 seconds in the backfield. And he's just, like, directing traffic and all this stuff. And, like, I was making fun of the Broncos defensive front a moment ago, but, like, they're still good. Like, they're the highest in EPA, statistically speaking. They're the highest in EPA in the NFL. Like, they're good.
Not on that play they were, because they didn't come within 10 yards of him.
Well, after for about 25 seconds, I mean, right.
That's what I'm saying.
But like, I'm saying, like, he's being bared down upon, you know?
That's an over-exaggeration of a statement.
Josh Allen?
He was standing. He was not being bared down upon. I mean, they were moving towards him.
As he let go of the ball.
Go back and watch that play. The entire left side of the offensive line, I believe, thinks Josh threw the ball 5 seconds before he did, because they stopped blocking. I'm not kidding. It's amazing. They just stop.
You're talking about the Bills offensive
yes,
line?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. Deion Dawkins is like frozen in time, just like watching it. Like, oh, this is going to be cool.
1, 2, 3. It's Dawkins, Torrance, and who's the son? Why am I blanking on the son?
Connor McGovern.
Thank you, McGovern.
Doppelganger. Thank you. I was going to say McGillicuddy.
I think they believe the play was over. He let the ball go. They're just standing, and the rushers are sprinting at Josh Allen, but he's still all alone, like 15 yards away. But go on.
I could have swore I heard a whistle. I'm just going to stand here. Maybe it'll come back to me. I was surprised that he didn't try to rush for. I thought it was going to be like, okay, try to take a home run shot, but I'm also Josh Allen. It's 1 yard. I'm going to be able to get it one way or the other. And I got a little worried. Obviously, you don't want to turn the ball over. I don't recall what the score was at that
12,
point.
7-12, I believe.
7-12?
I believe it was 12-7 at that point, right? Okay. Because they went for two. That was the two-point conversion. Or no, that... No, that made
they would have put him. Yeah, they would have put him at 21-7.
Yeah, so it would that touchdown made it 21-7.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So I mean, at that point, that's still a close game, and you're from your 20, right?
It was at the 24.
Yeah,
I'll tell you why they.
So that was surprising.
I'll tell you why they ran that play instead of the Josh Mush, and it's something you've theorized about the last couple of weeks, and I think we saw it in person.
Look at me go.
Your excuse for subpar performances on both sides of the ball the last couple of weeks has been they're hiding things.
Mm.
That play, the reason they did not Josh Mush was to show something else that the Ravens, and if this season continues, whoever they play, has to account for on fourth and one.
Mm-hmm. So when he takes it from shotgun.
Yes. So here's what I'll tell you. If they run that shotgun play again, it won't be that play. He's going to sprint it as hard as he can up the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, you put that on film, so they have to. Now, here's the thing.
You got to honor it, yeah.
It went so poorly that maybe they didn't, like, okay, that did not work the way we thought it was going to. We can't use it.
Right.
But, I mean, look, when you run weird stuff like that, sometimes it's because you see something in their defense that you think you can exploit.
Yeah.
Other times, it's so when it's now on film, you now have to waste time accounting for this other thing we're never going to do ever again, and we're going to go the opposite way with it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, that, man, it just... It's so great to have someone like Josh Allen on the team.
Okay, we're done with the podcast. We finally got saying, there. Like, Josh Allen, honest, good.
But let's just be real for a second. You know, like any other team, man, outside of maybe three, meaning like Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen, right?
Okay.
Outside of those three, you're not making that play. On top of that, and then also, too, like, credit to Ty Johnson. Like, that's a great play on his part. Like, whether or not it was complete luck, which you can't tell me it's not. Or, like, his foot is, like, an inch above
if
the
you
grass.
Go, no, bro, he, I mean, look, I think it's more, I think what Ty Johnson did there was more amazing than what Josh Allen did. If you go back and watch the replay again, he very, the word intentional is not what I'm trying to use. He is very deliberate in making sure his knee hits that ground before his foot hits the ground.
And also, too, like, if he goes...
One knee equals 2 feet.
One knee is 2 feet.
But two of the same foot does not equal 2 feet or one knee.
Right, and that's if you're using PEMDAS properly.
I don't know.
Order of operations, exactly. Yeah. Of course you don't.
I'm so smart. I've been in college for 72 years. Almost got my associates.
Almost. No, I have my associates.
That was a joke, but you exposed yourself.
Thank you so much.
I just got my associates.
Hey, listen, man. I think, like... Like that, it's obviously to have the wherewithal, because he was in the other corner of the end zone.
Yeah.
So to have the wherewithal to, like, you know, be like, okay, like, got to get open. Like, that's okay, par for the course. That's expected if your quarterback's scrambling. But then also, too, to have the wherewithal to not step out of bounds. Because, as I'm sure everybody knows, if you step out of bounds, you cannot be the first person to touch the ball.
That's not how the rule works.
Yeah. It's illegal touching.
No, that's only on punt returns. I believe the rule is if you step out of bounds, as long as you reestablish yourself with 2 feet, you can catch the ball.
Are you sure?
Almost positive.
Okay. I think you're wrong. Maybe the rule changed.
I think that's only on special teams. You can't be the first one to touch the...
No, it's... You might be right. Okay, so just... I'm right.
I said might be. I'm not sure what the rule is.
So possibly. And to my understanding, the rule is that if you as a receiver step out of bounds... Let me make my point, for goodness sake.
Right, let me cheat
if
really
you as a receiver mm-hmm. step out of bounds you can, and then re-enter the field of play, mm-hmm. you cannot be the first person to touch the ball. And if you do, it's illegal touching. Let's just say that that's the case.
Okay.
So for Ty Johnson to have the wherewithal to one not step out of bounds when he's literally tiptoeing the end line mm-hmm. and then makes the catch with the one knee, which is 2 feet. Like, come on, man. Like, that was a series of events that needed to happen perfectly, and it happened perfectly, and that's awesome. And that, I think, is what put the game on. Dude, I'm not joking. If we're talking about game of inches, that's what blew the game wide open.
I don't think the Bills defense, even if you didn't score there, I mean, you're giving them the ball for 24. They hadn't done anything. I think that's why they ran the formation they ran. I think that's why they ran that play, which we didn't expect to come. I think that game was already in hand at 12-7.
Fair enough. But 12-7 is a 5-point game, which
Thank
means...
You. There's Pendis again.
Dude, oh my God. You're so annoying.
Oh my God. There's love when huge, you do it to me. It's funny when I do it to
there
you.
There is a huge difference now. Between a
is
5...
Is this me reaping what I sow?
Are you done?
Sowing is fun. Is this me reaping? Reaping's no fun at all.
There is a huge difference between a 5-point lead and a 14-point lead.
All right, hold on.
You don't know the difference, do you?
It's 9 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to go. I'm saying it's a one-possession game versus a true two-possession game. That's mm-hmm. That blows the game wide open. It gives the Bills' defense the opportunity to maybe play back a little bit.
Yeah.
And obviously it puts the Broncos' offense in an urgency mode that where they're going to have to pass a lot more.
Okay.
So I'm saying, like, that's a huge play.
All right, so I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Touchdown's good.
Oh, my God.
What? No, I'm just trying to make sure we're all in agreement here. Touchdown's good. Josh Allen, awesome. Ty Johnson, feet inbounds.
Yeah, that's kind of the gist of what I'm trying to get to.
All right, so let's talk real stuff now. Go. Go.
See, you're even more annoying now than you were at the game. And you were unbelievably obnoxious at that game.
Oh, were you annoyed with the free playoff tickets you got?
Yeah, I had to drive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right.
So I think what was surprising to me was the lack of fight from the Denver Broncos.
And you think so?
Yes, and I'll explain why. I mean, you know, again, outside of that first 90 seconds of game time there, it seems at every point in NFL history, every season, there are three dominant teams in each conference. Three really, really, really good teams, okay. Right? So, like, you know, division winners from three, there's always one division winner that kind of, like, limps their way into the playoffs. There's, like, kind of a, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, this year it would be Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo.
Yep, I agree.
And over the last 5 years, Baltimore and Cincinnati have kind of traded off that, like, oh my God, their dominant and scary role over the last like 5 years. Is that fair?
Yeah.
You know, Lamar gets hurt. They kind of fall back.
Cincinnati was kind of up in there for a little bit, but they've obviously fallen off a cliff. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, there's usually two to three really dominant teams that would ideally kind of filter around every year.
I'm saying it's always three. Every year there is three.
Okay.
And, you know, one or two of those teams will change, but there's always three.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that same time, there are two or three teams that are ready to take that next step
mm-hmm.
into that dominant thing. And like I said, right, like one or two of those teams will be dominant for 5, 7, however many years. Mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing with the Bills and the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I believed, based on watching the Broncos the last couple of games of the season,
mm-hmm.
that they were ready to take that step forward, not into dominant, but we were going to see what we saw from the Bills in Josh's second year. Where they make the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
they put up a hell of a fight.
See, from the Broncos.
Or, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. What we saw from the Bills in 2019, we would see from the Broncos on Sunday.
Got it. Okay.
That, you know, you put up a hell of a fight, you go to overtime with a division winner, like the future is bright.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, whether or not they made it an actual game, that we'd sit back and go, you know, Bo Nix, XYZ. Well, you know, this defense, XYZ.
Yeah.
And we didn't see any of it. And I think what's even more remarkable is if you look across the NFL, there is not a team in the AFC right now that I believe is ready to take that step forward into dominance.
Oh, I disagree. I think that say what you will about the Broncos defense, but like in watching Bo Nix at the game on top of that, you could see, I could see a level of urgency and command that I think like give him a little bit more time. And I think he could be And I think that maybe not knocking on the door of dominancy, but I think he's going to be, hopefully he's going to be good for,
well,
hopefully for his own sake. But like everyone said that about CJ Stroud last year, and he kind of took a dip.
And I think that's the point I'm making. Like when you watch Josh Allen play in that playoff game, you know, you bring up urgency and whatever, like you knew walking away from that Houston game, Josh Allen was special.
Yeah.
And he was going to be around for a long time.
Right. Remember when he did the John Brown dance in the end zone?
Yes, I do. After he caught a touchdown pass and mistimed how quickly the defender would get there to take him out at the knees and make him do a flip.
That ain't going to happen ever again.
I guess what I'm saying is I expected to walk away after watching Bo Nix, you know, no matter what happened, going, all right, this kid's about to take a step forward. And I didn't get that. Hmm. And even stranger, if you look around other teams in the AFC right now, mm-hmm. Houston was supposed to be that team this year.
Right.
Now, granted, you know, they beat a bad Chargers team.
Yep.
I don't think Houston is that team anymore. If anybody else in their division had any kind of coaching and talent, they would not have won the AFC South. And we also have been waiting for the last 5 years for Justin Herbert and the Chargers to be that team.
Yeah, I think that's done.
That I agree with you 100%. I think you got to start making some changes there. They haven't been able to do it. So it's been a rare occurrence where there are two teams over the last 7 years that have been dominant with no one really ready to take that step forward to be the other team.
Hmm.
I mean, can you name me another team in the AFC where you look next year and you go, that team's got something, they're young, they have the ability to sustain success over the next 3, 4, 5 years?
Nothing stands out to me. I mean, like, every year it's always, you know, the team with the rookie quarterback. Like, the Colts were going to take that step, and that, like you said, the Texans are going to, you know, break even more into it. Like, I wonder, though, to some degree, if we just don't see that as much because the Chiefs have been so dominant. But I guess if there was any team that is, at least after the wild card round, out of the AFC that is ready to take that step, I would say that it's Denver. But
they got the doors blown off
by a really good Bills team at home.
Okay, look, I'm not... Okay, again. It wasn't just the score. I get the Bills are really, really good. Yeah. I get it. I agree with you.
We all see it every week.
Yeah, good. It's podcast and everything. They got dominated.
Yeah.
They gave up 31 unanswered points.
Yeah.
They hung their hat on this defense and the excitement of their young quarterback. And neither of them, after the first 90 seconds of the game, showed up. They did not show up. So when you tell me, you know, they lost to a really good Bills team, sure. But that really good Bills team, with the cap that they have and the draft picks they have next year, is only going to get better.
See, you're looking at the box score and I think telling yourself a story that isn't accurate, man. The Broncos defense held the Bills to 2 field goals and was about to hold them to 3 until Josh did that one play that really kind of broke the game wide open. I mean, did you see Vance Joseph on the sideline? Like, after that 4th-and-1 play, touchdown pass to Ty Johnson, like, he literally throws his hands up in the air. He's like, come on. And it's like, what more can you do as a defensive coordinator? In those kinds of situations, you're just going up against an extremely talented player. But the idea of that, like, the one of the, if not the best statistical defenses in the NFL was just like, we weren't supposed to be here, so we're just gonna lay down. Like, no, man.
Okay.
I think the Bills are that good, and the Broncos defense is not Bo Nix's problem. I think Bo Nix just needs more time to, like, develop.
All right, here's my proof. You know, you say they didn't lay down, and I agree with you. That's, I mean, Josh Allen does that to people, but I mean, that's what happens if you're gonna take a step forward in this division, or in this conference. You have to be able to hang with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
it was 21-7 at that point. They proceeded to give up 10 more points.
It was 21-7 after that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you give that up, it's 21-7. They gave up 10 more points. That defense did. That never gave up. They only got to Josh twice, and we heard all week about how they're a sack machine. And that touchdown pass to Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tell me that wasn't a frustration, F it, I'm done here. Patrick Surtain, who's one of the best corners in the NFL.
In the defensive backfield, I'll give you that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You had Bills players downfield that didn't even have to block. They're running with their hands up, and the defensive backs wanted no part of it. So when you tell me they didn't lay down, that play, if you were to look up laying down, it would be a really thick dictionary because there's videos of all of them, but that would be what that definition is.
Yeah, I agree with you there on that play. I don't think they gave up by any stretch, but I don't think they were playing with the level of intensity that, like, you know, would be expected out of an NFL player every single
down.
You're
in the playoffs against a 2 seed on the road.
But so if your point is that is there a team that's ready to
take the step forward?
Take the step forward. I think the Broncos, after this game, they have everything they need to take a step forward.
Nope.
But obviously, you have to take your lumps. Like, the Bills took their lumps against Houston in the wild card round.
But again, if we compare those two games, because like I said it last week, and I feel stupid now. Like, I believed after watching the Broncos, because I'd watched in the last 3 weeks as they're trying to get into the playoffs.
Right.
I believed that that team was a carbon copy of that second year Josh Allen team.
Okay.
All right. And I was wrong, because the Bills, no matter how bad things got, no matter how rough things looked, did not quit. Because don't forget, the Bills took a big lead.
16-0.
Yep. Houston comes back.
Mm-hmm.
They're fighting. They fought their asses off, and they didn't have the talent to put it together. And, you know, in hindsight, you understand it. It sucked. But even that night, you were like, okay, we're here now.
Nah, I was pretty pissed off.
Really?
Yeah.
Second year Josh?
Yeah, I wasn't upset at Josh. I was upset that they couldn't take
down. You were upset at Josh. Don't forget, that was the play where he just chucked it backwards to Dawson Knox on that drive where they were trying to get it in overtime. Remember?
I was more upset with, and thank God it all worked out, right? Like,
after Dawson Knox had to punch the ball out of bounds.
But I was more upset after that game with the inability to take down Deshaun Watson with Tre'Davious White and, was it Edmonds? Whoever it was, like barreling down on Deshaun Watson.
Oh, where he looped around and then, toss it to
Tywan Jones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Former Buffalo Bill, Tywan Jones. Yeah.
Former captain Tywan Jones.
Former man who got hit in the face while he didn't have his helmet on with another helmet, Tywan Jones.
We know a lot about Tywan Jones.
Well, that play happened right in front of my seats, and all of a sudden he gets up and there's this blood pouring down his face.
That'll be fine.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess agree to disagree. I think that the Broncos are, if you had to choose one, they're the one. But if not, I'm not going to fight you on it.
No, idea. I don't think you have to choose one, because I don't think there is one. I don't think Houston go up because it's
right. I mean, hope to God, that'd be awesome.
I don't think Houston regresses again a little further next year. They got a serious receiver problem. You got a locker room problem.
Tank Dell is out arguably for the, Tank Dell. I mean, that was such a horrific injury. Like, there's a very low likelihood he'll play next year. Stephon Diggs is a free agent coming off of an ACL tear. He ain't going to be on that roster. I think that they might have some growing pains.
The defense in Los Angeles with the Chargers, that's going to be a huge turnover there.
Yep.
And, I mean, think about it, too. When it comes to Denver and the Chargers, you're in the AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
You got to, if you're going to be a dominant team, you have to find a way to win the division over the Chiefs.
Yeah, and welcome to being a Buffalo Bills fan for the last, prior to the last seven, being a Bills fan for 20 years.
No, but what's interesting is there were times, I mean, the Bills were the only team that didn't have any success against the Patriots. Don't forget, the Dolphins won a division crown in there. The Jets got to the AFC Championship game twice.
2 years in a row.
Yes. I mean, as wild card participants. Mm-hmm. So, but like, even in that way, like, they didn't win the division. They were on the cusp of being something.
Yeah. And even to your point on like the Jets winning the Dolphins winning that division that 1 year that Brady broke his broke his leg on the first game of the season. Even with Brady, like, the Dolphins always played against the Patriots well. Just the Bills just had a lot of lack of success against that. Oh, it still makes me mad.
Okay, so we're going to get to what's going on with this Ravens game later. There's been a lot of movement this week, and I'm angry.
Oh, no.
I'm angry at Vegas.
Oh, drink.
The disrespect they're showing Bills fans.
Ooh, how dare you, Vegas.
I don't think you've thought about this.
That's not even the real Statue of Liberty, by the way. That's a fake.
I don't think you've thought about this, and you're also going to get furious when I point it out.
It's also not a pyramid. Do you think the pyramids have lights coming out of the top of them? Stupid.
Okay, but I do want to talk about something you brought up, because we weren't going to get into this, but now I'm curious. Because we went to the game on Sunday.
Sure. Yeah, I was
and,
there.
And we'll recap the way everything had to work out, because Ryan's, we talked last week, you know, the contingency of Ryan coming to the game was he was going to drive.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to drop me off my daughter's hockey game that was right around the corner afterwards, and he was going to drag me out of that stadium. By the way, everything worked out perfectly.
Dude, obligation fulfilled.
Yeah, you nailed it. Thank you. But I had a plan to make sure everything worked out.
Okay.
And it all comes down to how much fun you should allow yourself to have at a Bills game.
Okay.
What? Why are you making that face?
So you're telling me even after all of this, like, craziness last week of like, you gotta do the thing, and then it's this, and you gotta do it. You had a contingency redundancy plan in place the whole time.
What are you talking about, contingency
redundancy? You're saying like, you gotta limit yourself, you gotta make sure you're having a fun. Like, I'm curious where you're going.
No. When I say fun, I mean alcohol. That's what I'm getting at. Oh, because sure. My plan was...
Well, they're not exclusive, okay. Just so we know.
Maybe not for you. It's Let's Go Duffalo. We're gonna do it next. The Odyssey Brave Engage Podcast. You go to a Bills game to watch the game.
Yeah?
But you don't go to a Bills game to only watch the game.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's so much going on.
Well, look, tailgating is a part of life in Orchard Park.
You got the trough. You got all the steps that people are going to fall down on. You got the ushers at the top where you always fist pump them and say, go Bills, and they don't interact with you because you're not allowed to.
Okay, and then, I mean, part of, you don't tailgate really. Most people don't tailgate without a little bit of alcohol at the tailgate.
Yeah, most, I would say.
You know, Bills fans have a reputation for being wild and crazy and drunk all the time.
Some call it debauchery, and others also call it debauchery.
I will argue that reputation is a little overblown.
I think so. I think Bills fans have leaned into it, as has the media.
But there is a debate to be had about how much fun you should allow yourself to have depending on the game you're going to be at.
Interesting.
And when I say fun, I mean consumption of alcohol.
Sure.
You're hanging out, or nope, that's not the show we're on.
You're hanging out in the Duffalo room because I can't get my job straight.
I love how you're so mad that I made a legitimate point.
Let's Go Duffalo. Available to you on the free.
Everything you do, to everything you can to be annoying for the rest of the show.
Available to you on the free Odyssey app. This is Patrick Duffy over there, Ryan Duffy over here.
Remember when you drove the show a couple times when I wasn't there and you called me afterwards like, it's way harder than I thought it was going to
be. Hey, everybody, this is Ryan. What did some guy, the first one I ever did, someone commented something of like, really bring in the energy, Ryan.
We'll get to what's making Ryan say in just a little while. And a fight between former Bills players? What's happening? I didn't see the story.
I don't know. Maybe we're just going to have to get into it later. And maybe it's mixing in with some people's emotions.
Nailed it. We'll get to that just a little
just
while.
Just a little while. Let's Go Duffalo. On the Odyssey app.
All right. So if you listened to the show last week, I had my ticket to the Broncos game.
Sure.
And of course, I was going to bring Ryan with me, but there was a contingency for Ryan to get this ticket.
Oh, no.
My daughter had a very important hockey game.
Did she win?
In Buffalo. Well, we'll get to it.
God, I can't take this level of stress.
In Buffalo. It was 10 minutes away from the rink, and it started at 5 o'clock. And everything, like, it was like serendipitous, right? Like, what are the odds all of these things line up right on the same day? So.
Stairway
to heaven is, yes. So I tell Ryan, I want you to come with me, but there's three rules.
Sir to perpetrators.
One, you drive.
Sure.
Done. Two, you need to drop me off at my daughter's hockey game around the corner from the stadium.
I'm not stopping the car, but yes.
Okay. And three, bro, in the condition I was in, I could have rolled him before. And three, you were going to drag me out of that stadium at 3:45.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we agree. Yep. And here came the anxiety, because all of these things have to work out perfectly for everything to be okay. And if I miss my daughter's game, she was going to be very upset. I would have been upset as a father.
The Stella Artois would have to align.
Heyo.
That was good.
All right. So with that being said, everything worked out perfectly.
Sure.
Ryan got us to the game. He dragged me out of there. The game went so fast that we only missed the final field goal of the game.
Yeah. So much, in fact, too. I just want to make a point how I had my secret weapon ace in the hole in Matt. I had to call Matt to be like, hey, man, we got to go.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, I'm coming.
See, I told you.
Right. And then his alarm went off of like, got to get Pat out of the stadium as we were walking out of the stadium.
So I get to my daughter's game. I had like 10 minutes to spare. They won their game, which is fantastic. Everything worked out. But
thank God.
The reason I bring this up is you had made a comment earlier in the show.
Okay.
That I was annoying and obnoxious at the game.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why? What do you mean?
Dude, you have no understanding of human personal space.
Well, do I not have understanding of human personal space?
Dude, obviously you're my brother. I love you.
Uh-huh.
I have come to accept, I'm not saying appreciate, yeah. I've come to accept the type of person that you are. So I think it comes part and parcel that you're going to be sometimes a bit obnoxious, whether it's for the goofs or whether it's just because it's just you being you. Both are the same. But as a sober person in that stadium and you as a not sober person in that stadium, I will tell you, you have no understanding or awareness of a human personal bubble that I think most people would want to have.
Sure.
You were literally full pitch screaming in my ear. And you'll see if you follow us on TikTok and on Instagram at Let's Not Go.
Are you talking about singing the shout song?
Dude,
that's fair. That's a fine thing to do. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's
right
what you
in my ear. Yeah. Dude, you took a licked pretzel and was poking me in the face with it.
I offered you some pretzel. You didn't want it.
No, I declined.
And you know what? That offended me.
I declined.
That offended me. So you were going to have some of that pretzel.
Dude, like I obviously, like, I had a great time, and, you know, it is what it is. I had a great time,
but let me complain about free ticket I got to a playoff.
I'm not complaining about the ticket. The ticket was awesome. The scurvy that I got in my mustache now from you taking a pretzel and smearing all over my face.
We shared a room for 18 years. There is nothing that I have that you don't have.
Okay.
Is that a fair statement? Especially in the house we grew up in. Like, there's like actual chunks of asbestos running through our bloodstream right now. Okay. So yeah, I will admit I got pretty toasty.
Sure.
And
I'm not judging. For the record, I'm not judging.
This could not be more judging.
No, I'm.
This could not be more judging.
No, I am. Here's the thing. Like, I am in full acceptance of you. I love you for who you are.
Shut up.
What?
I love you.
You don't have to accept it.
I love you. Here's why you suck. You do this.
Some would argue that that's actually true love. That I have enough love for you that I would tell you how annoying and stupid you are.
You're the most stupid, annoying person I've ever met.
That's not even a word.
That's a stupid and annoying person.
You said stupider.
Oh, I did.
Like the planet. You're from planet Stupider.
Yeah, I'm the obnoxious
one. Right in front of Saturn. Anyway, no, I think that, like I have no judgment toward you. Like, I've been there, too. We've all been there. But, like, I'm just like you.
I've been where you've been at points, man.
I'm just one of the guys, man. I'm a regular Joe who likes his Joe regular, okay?
Boo.
What?
Okay, so the reason that kind of went sideways on Sunday is I have a system. I think most people, if you go to Bills games on a regular system, on a regular basis, you have an alcohol system.
Everyone brings their abacus?
Well, no. I mean, like, you know what you're going to drink before the game starts.
Okay.
And the way that I normally do it is I will bring a six-pack of Tall Boys.
Sure.
Right? Either it's Blue Light or Jenny Light. If we want to feel fancy, we'll get Three Heads Brewing.
Oh.
And I will have three Tall Boys throughout our tailgate, mm-hmm. right? Throughout there. And we'll get into the game.
That's really six beers.
Yes. But it's over like 5 hours.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm just, but I'm just, like, in my head, the science works because I've done this 1,000 times and I'm not even really.
And you're saving your knuckles from carpal tunnel having to open up the can. I'm with you.
When I get into the game, I will have, we usually get in like 45 minutes early.
Yeah.
I'll have one beer right when we walk in. By the time the game starts, the beer is gone, and I'm good. Like, I'm having a fun time. Like, I'm relaxed, but yeah. I'm not drunk.
And you're also not spending $70 on a beer at the stadium.
So my fear on Sunday was this.
Fear the beer?
On the way home, I will start to get what I call the same-day hangover, which sucks.
Yeah, you're coming down.
Nothing worse than a same-day hangover. And I did not want to get the same-day hangover at my daughter's hockey game.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea to try to avoid that at your daughter's youth hockey game.
Yeah, so
out of town.
So the plan was, I'm going to drink more and ride the dragon all the way through this hockey game. And then when it's over on the way home, everything will be okay. And
hair of the current dog that you are riding.
That's exactly what it was. Okay, so here's where the problem started. So we get there actually earlier than I anticipated we were going to get there.
We did, yeah. The traffic wasn't too bad.
All right, so we start drinking, and we're all excited, and there's people in the lot that, like, we know personally, some folks that listen to the podcast, so we're partying with them a little bit, having a grand old time, so that caused us to drink a little bit more, I think. So then we went to another tailgate party, and those people just started feeding us alcohol.
Yeah, I lost count a little bit, and then, go ahead.
That's where the problem was.
Yeah.
Is I lost count of how many beers I was having, because we're just having a grand old time, and we're laughing and telling stories, and you know, whatever, and they're just keep handing me beers. I'm like, crank, crank, crank. I don't want to be rude.
Okay, of course, sir. I'll take that course.
So we look at the clock, and we go, oh, we got to go back, shut down our tailgate.
Ruh-roh.
And I remember being like, hey, man, thanks a ton. Good to see you. I turned to walk, and it felt like the first step on the moon.
Yeah.
I was like, whoop.
Too many beers for man.
I have made a terrible mistake. But here's the problem.
Yeah.
If I stop, we're back in the same problem we were at to begin with.
Right.
And that same day hangover is going to be brutal.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
All right. So we get back to the car.
Mm-hmm.
We have one more Tall Boy beer.
Yep.
Right, you're done.
And at that point too, I just, for what it's worth, again, I'm an everyman, you know, I had also lost count because of the changing of scenery. Mm-hmm. I tend to, you know, keep it in check. And, because of the shifting scenes,
sure.
I kind of caught it. You know how it goes. Like, you're in I like to refer to it as being in the pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in a group of like, you know, six or seven people, and just the stories and conversations are just ping ponging back and forth like a nice fun game of Tempest on the Atari 2600. And then all of a sudden someone says something that is like, it sounds like a punchline, and everyone goes, ha, 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 ha. And then the next person goes, and they go, ha, ha, ha. And that continues for like 4 hours.
It was a good time.
Right. But while this is going on, I'm more focused on the social cues than I am what the beverage that's in my hand. And then as I went to turn to go lock down our tailgate, like you mentioned, I also felt the same way. And I was also heightened as far as anxiety is concerned, because I thought, oh no, I'm the one who's responsible for getting us out of here.
I do remember turning to you and saying, hey, if you need me to take an Uber, I'll take an Uber. Yeah.
And for what it's worth, like, that was absolutely it from that point. And I absolutely, with the adrenaline from the game and just in general, it was very responsible and we got home very safely.
Okay, anyway, the point I'm getting at is, so we get into the game, I get a big beer, finish that before the kickoff. Wayne got another beer, big ass beer. then we got to halftime and I'm like, all right, if I'm going to make this work, I'm going to have to keep drinking all the way. So I got two more big ass beers at halftime. Why are you laughing?
It's just funny.
What? I mean, like, I was finishing my last beer as you were like, all right, it's time to go. So I'm like, all right. So I'm running. I had videotaped myself running up the stairs because I was documenting myself on social media.
Sure.
Right. The whole journey.
As everyone does.
And I remember watching it the next morning sober and being like, oh boy, I was really there, man.
Where you thought you were giving like your dissertation about astrophysics. Can I also say too, like at one point I thought I time traveled sober at the game because you said, and okay, since when did they stop serving beer? Or I'm sorry, when did they continue serving beer after the start of the third?
They didn't.
They didn't?
I just bought a lot of beers.
Oh, maybe that would explain it. Okay, but also too, since when have they brought back people walking up and vendors walking up and down?
I don't know. That was the first time I've seen that all season.
All season? I haven't seen that in 10, 15 years.
No, because I had turned and I'm going to go get another beer, and then in front of me on the stairs,
right,
they got someone walking up and down the stairs.
Ave Maria's playing over the loudspeaker. Somewhere, like two people are holding like lanterns behind her, and like there she is with her big cart of like, I have your beer right here.
It wasn't even beer I wanted, but I was so excited. Right. How can you not say no? All right.
So you were like, I'm going to go get a beer. And I said, okay, sounds good. And then 30 seconds later, you came back and you had two beers in your hand. I'm like, wait a minute. What just happened?
So, all right. So we get done. We get to the game. I'm still toasty at the game. But when I'm outside of like a Bills event and drunk, I'm pretty laid back drunk, right? So,
yeah.
Shut up. And not to mention, I said outside of a Bills game. I'm sorry. You weren't having enough fun. And not to mention, if there is one youth sports event where you are allowed to be drunk and drinking, it's hockey.
Okay.
Every rink has a bar in it, which is a whole other sidebar, by the way. Like, I don't know how anyone was like, you know what we should do in potentially the most toxic, violent area for parents? Give them alcohol.
That'll do it.
On the ice. So I'm at the game. Everything goes well. My wife is just, like, holding me.
Sure.
Right? To make sure I don't do anything stupid, which I wasn't going to do.
Of course not.
Daughter wins, like I said.
We hit the car. Let's go, Stella!
No, I was very conscious of not even opening my mouth.
Smart move. Smart move.
So we stop at Ted's on the way home.
Ooh, nice.
7:45, I got my hot dog with sauerkraut on it. I got my fries. I bought a milkshake.
That was a genius move on your part.
Really wish they would have stopped me from getting a milkshake.
They should have tried to guard you.
Why? No, I mean my family. Why? Oh, no one in my family.
They also should have tried to guard you.
Step forward. It was like, don't have any of this milkshake.
Listen,
please.
I get you with the hot dog, you know, sop it up. I get you with the fries, sop it up. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, the dairy is not going to help
milkshake
you.
Milkshake was not a good idea.
No, 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 no.
And the reason I bring this up is because right around 7:45, like right when we hit the Batavia exit, my wife driving, I'm like, why did I do this? Mm-hmm. I admit it. My wife had to I fell asleep in the car on the way home. My wife could not wake me up. I remember being like, oh, leave me alone. I'm going to live here for the rest of my life.
This is where it ends for me.
I live in this car now. I had to get up at 2:30 in the morning. That alarm went off.
The dentist's favorite time.
I thought I was dying. I get into the studio the next day. I don't really get a lot of bad hangovers.
Sure.
It was one of the worst hangovers of my life.
That's unfortunate.
And we're doing the radio show. Show starts at 6. And my wife, who's wonderful, by the way, like sets good. The whole thing up, drives me home.
Good Borat impression right there.
Wow. She doesn't see patients on Monday. She's off.
Oh, nice.
So she drops kids off at school, and I knew she was going to be out of the house. So I texted her. I go, hey, you beautiful, wonderful, brilliant lady, you. Could you please help me and bring in things to make me not want to die. I'm like, I need Pedialyte and whatever else you think is going to work. So my wonderful wife at 7:45 in the morning brought in Pedialyte and like Gatorade. And then she gave me your Stanley. And she had like this liquid IV mixed in. She brought me Advil. She brought me a big old breakfast sandwich.
This human being went to school for 12 years and is responsible for the well-being of other human beings and has taken a sworn oath to do no harm.
Hippocratic oath, yes.
Right. That person brought in, you asked that person to bring you in Pedialyte and a breakfast sandwich to your radio show job.
Yeah, because I was really hungover and I was dying. I was
just want to make sure we're all on the same page here.
It was even one of those things where I like looked at my co-host Tommy that morning. I'm like, listen, man, I'm going to need you to carry us today.
It was just like every other day.
And the reason I tell that long-winded story, and I apologize, we went off on a lot of tangents there, is I broke my normal drinking rules.
What's up?
Of 3 beers before the game.
Oh, sure, yeah.
1 beer when I get in, and then we're done.
Yeah.
But
the Pythagorean theorem, I like to call it now.
Extenuating circumstances will make you do that. And I do feel like different games...
You got to account for the variables.
...will make you change the way you drink. Do you have the exact amount you drink every week? Like, you've got it down to a science? Have you gotten to that point yet?
I tend to go off of feel, but I also don't drink very much. Okay.
I don't either. I only drink at Bills games.
Yeah, honestly, like, that's the thing. We were talking about dry January last week, but, like, obviously I drank at the game. But, like, outside of that, like, even in social settings with friends, like, I don't know. I've just gotten to that age. I don't know if it just, like, slows me down even more than I'm already slow, and I'm just like, I'm not here for it. Or maybe it's kids, young kids. I don't know. But for whatever reason, it's just not the same for me.
No, I'm with you. But, like, I do feel, and the reason I bring this up with the Ravens game being primetime Sunday night, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the one thing that will throw you off of your beer schedule, your alcohol schedule in the parking lot, is a later game.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're smart, you just time out what 6:30 would have been 1 o'clock and start subtracting hours. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing, but you can't do that. What? We're not accounting for variables. Like, if for anything for that game.
Like, what?
Because I've been going through in my head and trying to figure this out too, as far as even when to leave Rochester to get there. It's not like generally we'll leave around 7 o'clock. We'll get to on the road by 7:30 tops. And then we're in the stadium or on the outskirts parking at a little after 9.
No.
That's usually how it works.
No,
out.
We're in the
8:45.
No, I am not in the lot any later than 8:30 when we go.
All right, fine. Whatever.
I'm just saying, no, I don't want to be that bad. No, there's a reason 9 o'clock is not enough time.
Okay, whatever. I'm saying, but okay, that leaves you between 4 and 4.5 hours pre trek into the game.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So with that logic, you would think that I would have to be at Orchard Park between 1:30 and 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right? And that means that I would have to leave Rochester between like 11:30 and 12.
Sure.
That's not going to be the same. It's because it's not like a normal Bills game. People are going to be there well before regular traffic would come in the private lots. It is a divisional game. There's a lot more buzz around it. This is completely different than what I'm used to.
Yeah, and then you also factor in the anxiety drinking.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not even talking about the drinking at this point. So, but now, going back to your point, like, there are so many variables that go into this. I'm scared.
So, like, I don't know about you, but I do tend to drink more in games that matter more just because I'm trying to like calm my nerves down. Like the drinking on Sunday with the Broncos game was a plan.
Yeah.
It was a scientific plan.
Sure.
If I am at home, and I'll only drink at home when there's people over at the house watching the game, like I do find that I am drinking way more getting ready for a game that I am on nerves. But like when we went to the Cincinnati playoff game, I drank way more than I should have because I was nervous. Last year, I had the fortune of being able to go to Kansas City for the Bills regular season game out there. Mm-hmm. And it was a work thing.
Sure.
So I ended up in a suite at the game.
No big deal.
With unlimited beer.
Ooh.
And
big deal.
I did the same thing that I did. That was a
nice
big mistake.
See, it's funny. I'm on the opposite side of that. Like, I feel like when the game has more on the line, I tend to drink less.
Really?
Yeah. I find myself drinking less when I'm at the games. Like the Kansas City divisional game last year, like obviously I was having fun, you know, just hanging out, but, and maybe the cold had something to do with it too, where I was just like distracted. Yeah. I don't think I was consuming nearly as much as I would on just a regular season game.
And look, I will admit, I drank way too much on Sunday, right? But there is one other group of people that I will never understand that you come across sometimes in the Bills parking lot.
Okay.
people who drink liquor at tailgates.
Dude, I'm with you, man.
How do you do that?
I mean, if you're over 22, I don't know how you do that.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
I don't, because there were some people we were hanging out with, nice guys. Sure. Like they were like in their 50s and 60s drinking liquor,
dude,
at a Bills tailgate.
I want to call someone for you. You know
no,
what I mean?
I'm not judging you not for that.
Not in that sense. No, I'm what just...
Well, that was nice being invited to that tailgate that one time.
No, I'm just saying, like, in a sense, that like, the person I want to call is Guinness, so they can come and observe you. Not Guinness, the record keeper, not the brewer. I think that, like, I am not interested in liquor as it is, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. I've just, that's not my thing. But especially not at a Bills game. I just feel like that's going to get away from me way too fast.
I got no problem. I like drinking whiskey. I like drinking gin.
Sure.
But like I don't know how you don't die in a parking lot drinking whiskey. And it feels to me.
Especially with a giant hole right across the street. We don't know what happened with the pit last year.
Feed the pit. It feels to me that I've seen it more recently, people enjoying whiskey in the parking lot. Because when we were growing up, it was just beer. Like, you only saw beer. Yeah. You never saw anything else. But, like, even people that were tailgating around us had bottles out. Mm-hmm. There was one group across the way from us that was playing flip cup with, like, some kind of whiskey or some kind of liquor. Mm. And, like, I don't know how much faster you could put your face down in a ground than flip cup at a tailgate with liquor.
Well, you know, all these Gen Zers got all their flavored peanut butter and passion fruit and avocado toast flavored liqueurs.
You know, it's fun, but that's all for the flavored liqueurs seem to be more for the old people. Yeah, Fireball's for old folks. Peanut butter screwball, that's for the old folks.
It's like when Smirnoff Ice came out and like Zimas and like wine coolers and like everyone that are our parents' age at the time were just like, look at how refreshing this is as I sit outside behind or on the deck next to my above ground pool.
So quick sidebar. I don't think that was most dudes. I think dad just really liked Bartles and James and like tried to play it off like every dude drank Smirnoff Ice and Bartles.
See, beer. In order to get to the Seagrams, you have to peel off the paper first and then crack the top.
All right, you shared something with me that I did not see, and I am very surprised by this. Hmm. In fact, I need a backstory here because, you know, teams that are successful, even if you don't reach your ultimate goal, seem to have a bond that keep them together for years and years and years. And I don't mean as a team together. I mean as, like, friends, as soulmates. But these guys are feuding?
Oh, boy.
And neither of them are really playing anymore. We'll get into it. We'll find out what's making Ryan sad. All that next. Let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey app, where we reach podcasts.
I don't know, man, but it's got me feeling a certain way.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You don't want to believe that the team that we've watched the last couple of years could have any animosity, but I guess every NFL team is going to have guys that don't like each other.
And also, too, it's a job. Everyone works a job with someone they don't like.
But still, so let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey, Abbey Beach podcast. We'll get to what seems to be a beef between two recent Buffalo Bills, one that is technically on the roster right now, in just a little while. But before we get there, it is about that time. Let's find out what's making Ryan sad.
Ooh. Well, this is going to be an extended segment.
Okay, when is it not, for God's sakes?
Because.
Just get to it.
I am very, very upset with what we're going to talk about. And I want to set the stage a little bit. Because I remember the bond. The bond that came as being part of a sports team, something larger than yourself. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget. And we, as an Aquinas junior varsity football player, we're playing Webster Thomas.
This is pathetic.
No, it's not.
This is pathetic.
I'll get there. Trust me. We're playing Webster Thomas. We're the junior varsity team. There's no lights on the field. It's after school. It's like a Thursday. And it's later in the fall. Sun's going down. The game's going to be over. We're running out of daylight. They're going to call it. And the Aquinas Little Irish junior varsity team that I was a part of, we ended up pulling off the win because one guy on the Thomas team said the F word really loud and he got a personal foul. And that put us in position to win the game. And I'll never forget, after crawling back from that win, our coach came over to us. We're all taking a knee. It's pitch black outside. And he says, I'm so proud of you guys. And everyone put their hands on each other's shoulders as we walked back to the bus that Mrs. Wade was going to drive us back to school. And I remember Andre Bliss right in front of me. And I said, Andre, I love you. And he said, Duffy, I love you too. And I still remember that. 36 years old. It's almost 20 years ago.
I still remember that.
All right.
So to hear...
All right, but just stop, because we're going to get into the segment.
I hope, Dre, if you listen to the show, I doubt you do, right. But I still love you.
So a grown-ass man past 21 talking about their varsity high school football career is pathetic.
Were they one homecoming king?
That is pathetic. But you were the joke homecoming king.
Please, I want a fair and square. Count the votes there, buddy boy.
It's pathetic for people to discuss their high school sports careers, period, like varsity.
Yeah.
I've never in my life encountered a man in his 30s who wanted to recount a junior varsity football
story. That was a formative moment for me. And I stand by it, man.
It's pathetic.
It's not pathetic. I'm not saying, oh, man, look how many tackles I had, because I'm pretty sure it was zero because I got pulled from that game after I missed a tackle. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying I remember the feeling that being part of something larger than you, being part of...
Which is pretty impressive for you.
Yeah, seriously, right? Shut up. I still remember that feeling. Like, it's very fulfilling. It was a formative moment for me.
Wow.
And, like, and it has helped me in realizing... when I can be a part of something and help out the greater good.
Thank you for sharing that junior varsity football
make
story.
Make fun of me all you want, dude.
I will.
When you're 16, like those are 16 to 22. What is it? Like those are your formative years for sure.
Junior varsity is like 14.
No, I mean 16.
No.
Sophomore in high school, 16.
15.
15, 16.
Highest.
15, 16.
Nobody got their driver's license as a sophomore in high school unless
some people
they were,
did if you took driver's ed.
Or you like stayed back 2 years. All right. So you shared a story with me today that I had not heard yet, and I still haven't heard it. I was waiting for you to tell me here, because we want to believe with the teams that we love that every guy on the roster cares about each other. They're all best friends. They hang out all the time. And I guess there's a pipe dream in that, right? Different personalities will mesh different ways. But to find out that there may be actual friction, guys that don't like each other, that went to battle with each other, is bothersome. Because Micah Hyde, who we talked about earlier, on this Bills roster, did he put something on Instagram?
Well, so the Bills put out something on Instagram, and I'm sure a lot of people saw it. It was narrated by Micah Hyde, practice squad member and former active roster member of the Buffalo Bills.
Former active roster member.
Maybe you've heard of him. But Micah Hyde is saying, like, it starts off with him saying, like, you know, this is why I came back. I have unfinished business. And me, just like every other Bills fan, was like, dope. Awesome.
Okay.
I'm into this. And at the time, it was much higher on the comment list on Instagram as it is. Mm-hmm. But a familiar face threw their input into the whole comment section. And it says on here, fam, you're on the practice squad. You came back to practice. That's it. You know who said that on Instagram publicly? And it's still there.
Who said that?
Former Bills wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie.
Hmm.
That is interesting to me and a little bit upsetting because, like I said, I still love Andre Bliss. And that was 20 years ago. So the fact that even 4 years removed from an active, like from a teammate, a brother, a sibling, professional sibling, do you want to throw that kind of shade at Micah Hyde specifically?
You are too old to say the term throw that kind of shade.
Shade is not Gen Z. Shade's not Gen Z. It's been around for 10 years.
No, it is not. You cannot. Even if it's been around for 10 years. You're still too old to say throw in the shade.
Cap,
stop talking.
Clip.
Please stop. Is that a thing? Is a clip a thing?
That's clip. I'm clipping you. Clip.
Is that a real thing? You just make that up.
Let's go with both.
Okay. Yeah, no. So for those who don't know, I believe Isaiah McKenzie spent training camp with the New York Giants and didn't make the roster.
Yeah, he was part of the Daboll connection.
Yeah, but at the end of the season, like the last game or two, he signed with the Miami Dolphins. I don't know if he was on the active roster, but he did sign a contract with the Dolphins. I don't know if he's still on that Dolphins roster right now or if it was a one-year deal. I mean, he's not wrong.
Wow, real nice.
No, I'm just saying he's not raw. Look, I like having Micah Hyde in the room. Again, we talked about it. I was mistaken. I thought he was going to end up being on the active roster. Is it possible he's just busting his balls?
See, I thought about that too. And like, he could be. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, maybe this is making quite the mountain out of a little teeny tiny molehill, because maybe their camaraderie is so strong that Isaiah McKenzie has the wherewithal to be like, hey, super shade at Micah Hyde publicly.
and that this may be just a giant work, as we say in the wrestling biz.
No, you just keep getting more pathetic.
No, JV, I don't.
JV stories, too old for slang, and then wrestling related.
So according to Isaiah McKenzie's Wikipedia page, he did spend 2024 as part of the New York Giants and Miami Dolphins, but both of them were either offseason and or practice squad members. So okay, not so, part of the active roster.
And by the way, if he was cut... Or was on, I don't think he, so he didn't play an NFL game this year.
No.
Okay. You know, getting away from this story, because I want to give Isaiah McKenzie a benefit of the doubt that he's just busting his buddy's balls.
Sure, this is
a
could be. Thing. Yeah.
It is alarming, however, when you find out that there are players that have problems with other players that they once played with on your favorite team. And there have been a couple of guys the last few years where it's reared its ugly head. Stephon Diggs being the biggest one, but sure. We've covered that ad nauseum.
Haven't. I love him.
So we'll move on from that. The other one that stands out to me that I was very surprised and disappointed by was Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
The issue that Cole Beasley had with the Bills, which I still don't fully understand what his issues were.
Well, they were putting fluoride in the water.
Okay, other than that. I mean, outside of like the conspiracy theory stuff he got upset about. But I don't think that had anything to do with the Bills.
He was beefing with Mark Cuban on Twitter.
Well, no, again, Bills. Like when he got let go.
Because he didn't take his Shark Tank proposal. That's what it was.
But no, like I don't know what Cole Beasley could have had an issue with. And then when he couldn't find another job and the Bills were so desperate for receivers.
He started rapping.
He has to walk it all the way back. And, oh, yeah, I made a lot of mistakes back there and I said a lot of things I wish I wouldn't have said. And then he gets released again.
Oh,
and then
immediately right back to it.
I'm back,
joke's
baby.
On you, and I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling Brandon Beans.
You know, I call you a Rube all the time.
Sure.
And I stand by
it. A mark, if you will, as we say in the wrestling biz.
But if I am a Rube for one thing, as soon as a former Bill comes out after they leave the franchise, sure, and badmouths the team or badmouths a former teammate.
How dare you?
I hate that guy.
Put some respect on that organization's name that you no longer work for.
Which is funny because that's just it, right? It's a job for these guys.
Sure, right.
And we've all had jobs where we got out of the job and it's just like, that place was awful. And for whatever reason, you know, it's anecdotal. Maybe you were treated poorly. Everyone else was treated fine.
You don't talk about the Home Depot that way.
You are that
you
guy,
don't
though.
Talk about Subway that sandwiches that way.
Also that guy. Right? Like, you know, Wegmans is like voted the like best place to work in Rochester.
So they say.
As we
in the world. Are you kidding me? In the world.
No, I'm saying, but yeah, you're right. But we're here in Rochester. And like, if somebody like writes on social media that Wegmans is not a good place to work, you will have just this army of...
Maybe not so much anymore. I think the sentiment's kind of switching around, unless they sponsor us, in which case I love Wegmans.
I guess the point I'm making is it's all about how you were personally treated by your boss,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So I shouldn't have this feeling like when a former Bills player comes out and says bad things about the franchise or says bad things about teammates, but I do.
Not to mention, too, like the regimes change all the time. Like, maybe not at the ownership level, but like if... I don't know, that's a bad example. If Matt Cassel has a bad opinion of Doug Whaley, like, sure, okay, that's fine. Like, and if he wants to talk, you know, smack, if you will, is that old enough for you? If I say that, talking junk?
Yeah, that's our generation.
Gotcha, talking trash.
Sure, yeah, that works.
Right. Mocking out. There it is.
Okay.
That's right there. Yeah, I mean, like, okay, go ahead, but it's still the symbol that you're talking about. Like, does that make you upset?
Yeah, I don't want you to say bad things about my team.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes me
even
dumb.
Though Doug Whaley was not privy to the conversation about who the head coach is going to be because they didn't involve him in the conversation.
Okay, can I give you a quick sidebar? And again, sure. I don't mean to sound like that guy. You know, broadcasting live from training camp.
Doing what? What? For where?
Doing the break room.
Oh.
So I had a lot of interaction with Doug Whaley.
Sure.
And he was one of the nicest guys ever.
I'm sure he was.
And I think Doug Whaley was too honest for his own good because he would come down and sit with us and like do interviews and things. And like,
man, we have no money left.
Before the interviews, during the interviews, after the interviews, he would say things where I'd be like, I'd be thinking to myself, like, you die, I have a microphone. You probably shouldn't say these things to me. I'm not going to say anything, but you should probably not say these things to me. Don't forget, he did an interview, remember, where he said that the human body was not fit to play football?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the big whole thing during the concussion situation.
Yes, and he got a call from the commissioner. But here's the thing. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong there.
He's not wrong. So, like, I always have had a really soft spot for Doug Whaley because he seems just like a really nice guy that ended up in a Shark Tank that he was not prepared for. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just a sweet, really nice dude. He probably would be good at his job if he didn't have to, like, you know, lie all the time about everybody.
And I'm pretty sure he's still doing well. Like, he's whether it's the XFL or UFL or, like, at least as of recently, I think he was in a leadership position with another league.
I mean, if you're XFL, I wouldn't call that doing well if you were once the GM of an NFL also franchise.
But, like, you're still doing...
I was a movie star and I take tickets at Tinseltown. I'm still in the business.
That is quite the different thing that I'm talking about here. They're
pretty much the same.
Maybe you're not in the show anymore, but nevertheless, like, he's still employed, it would appear.
And look, the only thing that makes me feel better about my potential Rube take is I know that most Bills fans feel the way I do. Like, when former Bills say things that negative, like on social media, Bills fans will just be like, "No, you don't know what you're talking about.
You're dead to me."
But what's interesting is, like, Bills fans have such a hard time wrapping their head around this and have such a problem with, like, the Diggs and the Beasleys and whatever this is with Isaiah McKenzie. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that during the Super Bowl years, I mean, the nickname for that team was the Bickering Bills.
Bickering Bills, yeah.
They fought each other openly all the time. They would be doing interviews lockers apart from each other, talking crap about one another, where you had to hear what the other one was saying in two separate microphones. Andre Reed.
This was before noise-canceling AirPods.
Andre Reed, on a regular basis, after games, would call in sports talk shows, like the post-game show, to bitch about the franchise, his teammates, his targets. Could you imagine, in the world today, if when the game is over on Sunday, Amari Cooper calls into the official Bills postgame show and starts just crapping all over the franchise? Like, what earthquake waves that would make throughout the NFL?
Dude, like, the equivalent, like, there is no equivalent, like, even the smallest comment, which again, too, like, let's give these guys a little bit of grace. You know, they are human beings also and under a significant amount of pressure.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. Don't say bad things.
Okay, but a recent example I'm thinking of is that offensive lineman for the Giants who said, like, your fans or our fans are flipping burgers. Like, why are you giving, us criticisms on how to do it, or like the fans chirping Daniel Jones, all these are on the Giants.
I don't come to your job and kick the mop out of your head.
Exactly. Like, of course, use some more tact, but like, also, like, you're a human being and you're frustrated, and like, you've worked as hard as you have to get to where you are, and you have some Joe Schmo saying, like, you're not good at your job. Like, that could get frustrating. I could understand that. But to the degree that you're talking about back during this Bickering Bills period, like, yeah, if that were to have happened, if that were to happen nowadays, Bills or any other organization, any other sports team, like, that's like, people are leaning into that like crazy.
You wouldn't even have to lean into it. It's leaning into you. He called the show.
Oh, but I'm saying, like, it's going to be a larger narrative than, like, clearly things once winning happened for the Bills. Like, it wasn't an issue anymore. They switched from the blue face mask to the white, and then they all got along.
Yeah, I guess you're right. No, they were still bickering that whole time. All right, so as we talk about players having problems with each other or with the franchise, you know, it bothers people. What about coaches? Because the other significant, it now seems evident, issue that existed after somebody left was Brian Daboll, former Bills offensive coordinator, and Sean McDermott, head coach.
You're talking about Matt Pinfield's twin brother, former MTV. See, I'm going right back in our era now. You're saying I'm being too skibbity toilet up here with the younger crowd.
No, I just wish, could you find a deeper reference to push as many people away from the show as possible.
See, here's the thing. I'm pulling the ones that get it even closer.
No, but nobody got it.
Matt Pinfield. Get at me. Instagram. TikTok. Let's not go to
Is TikTok like TikTok? That's how old you are.
How about this? How about someone got my Kobayashi Maru reference, the Star Trek one, last episode. So in your face.
One person.
Great. Now I have a better relationship with that person.
Nobody cares.
I do.
We can kiss him on the mouth?
Maybe.
So, you know, we all remember after that Giants game last year, the iciest, quickest handshake of all time between McDermott and Daboll.
And blink and you miss it.
We had heard rumblings while Daboll was here that McDermott and he were having friction with each other. Then comes that story from Tyler Dunn at the, the three quarters of the way through the season last year about how there were lots of former Bills players who were Bills staff members who wouldn't go on the record.
This was part of Go Long.
Yes, that said that McDermott was a hard guy to work for, a control freak. Now, it seems that he's changed his ways. He did a snow angel.
Tyler Dunn is still writing those articles.
By the way, here's the thing. I think Tyler Dunn's very talented.
He's very good.
And it doesn't say, I mean, look, there was one big part of the article where he was right because McDermott had to come out and be like, yeah, I did that. Probably should have done that.
I
am not a fan of the television.
For sure. And also,
And for what it's worth, too, I was actually, I didn't know Tyler, I don't know Tyler Dunn, but I was actually at his sister's wedding, funny enough, because my wife was in his sister's wedding. And years later, when that whole Aaron Rodgers thing, because he worked for Bleacher Report, I think Buffalo News and stuff like that, but like, I didn't realize who he was until after that Bleacher Report Aaron Rodgers Green Bay situation came out. And I was like, oh man, I wonder if I can, when I meet him, if I ever do, when I host a podcast 10 years in the future, I'm going to say, I was at your sister's wedding. How's it going? Good to see you again.
Oh.
Anyway.
Are you angered more by Beasley or are you angered more by Dable?
I mean, that's tough.
Well, like, that's why I'm asking the question.
If I had to say it, I would say Beasley. But like, but the thing is, like, I'm not angry about any of them. Like,
bothers you more?
What bothers me more, I guess, would be Beasley, just because like it happened twice, and you know, you're quite literally like spitting in the face of the person who gave you an opportunity in McDermott and in Brandon Bean.
Kind of doing the same thing if you're Dable. I mean, if McDermott does not give him that OC job, he does not end up getting a head coaching job.
Sure, sure. That's and okay, I understand the parallel that you're making there, but still, I would say to Cole Beasley, it bothers me more because it happened twice. And where I think I give a little bit of, or like I look at it differently as far as Dable's concerned, is he is an offensive, he's an assistant coach. You can't go any higher than being a head coach if you're an offensive coordinator or just a coordinator in general. So he obviously has aspirations at that point as OC for the Bills to be a head coach in the future. You want to make, like, it's a lot of egos in the room. I can understand if, like, he has a philosophical difference between the head coach, but things are going good because you have Josh Allen and, you know, things are going great. And if you keep this up, you're going to get a head coaching opportunity, which obviously he did.
You're overcomplicating it. It boils down to this. Whether or not there's friction, that man trusted you enough to give you an offensive coordinator job that led to you getting a head coaching job.
Yeah.
You would not have gotten that opportunity, most likely, had this opportunity not presented itself, because you were in the right place at the right time, and he did really great here. It was awesome. But you have Josh Allen. You had a defense that was able to hold it together for you.
Counterpoint. So let's say, because a big criticism of Dable is that he didn't run the ball enough. And Sean McDermott was very vocal about how he felt he needed to, that the Bills needed to have a more balanced offense. Which, again, you can't get more balanced than what the Bills have been recently as as the running versus passing. So if you're Brian Dable and you are hired to do a job because you are the most qualified person to do it, and the person who is responsible for your output, the head coach, is hiring you to do that because you are good at it. Mm-hmm. If your boss is then going to anyone that you work with, or God forbid, the media, and saying like, hey, I think we should be doing things a little different, but it's not my call, or I mean, it is my call, but you know, this is just my opinion for what it's worth. That could get under my skin a bit.
Okay, but counterpoint to that, he's the boss.
Sure.
He's the boss. So
okay, yeah, so you can toe the line while you're at that job, and when you get an opportunity, if you want to be icy to that person, like, okay, like, yeah, obviously you don't want to spit in their face, which Dayball has not publicly said, like, I can't stand working for this guy. But it doesn't mean that you have to have a personal relationship or even like the person.
You could have faked a handshake. You could have, like,
so could have McDermott.
That handshake said way more than anything else.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. But so could have McDermott. Both of them were very much like, we're in and we're out. See us.
All right, we got to get to the actual crux of what's happening this weekend,
man. Oh, God.
6:30, Sunday, in Orchard Park, game of the week, Bills, Ravens. And there is something that is wildly disrespectful that has happened here.
Ooh,
wildly like disrespectful.
It. What did Cole Beasley say now?
Cole Bishop. We'll get into it. Next, let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey Appway Beach Podcast. Three to go, and it starts on Sunday. Baltimore Ravens coming to town. It's Let's Go Duffalo, the Odyssey. Yeah, we reach your podcast. I mean, this is where the real anxiety sets in, right?
Your anxiety.
No, I'm saying, like, the Broncos game, like, yeah, there was a chance that...
Your name's anxiety.
Oh, my God, shut up. There was a chance that things wouldn't go well, but I don't think any Bills fan really even entertained the idea that they weren't going to be moving on to the next round.
I mean, there is always a worry.
Did you entertain the idea?
Sure. I think you have to be realistic.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, I disagree with your point.
Okay.
I think it's fool's gold.
What is interesting about this game is how the NFL has always been a what have you done for me lately kind of league.
Always.
Right? Because the Ravens lost 5 games this season.
Yeah, they are 12
and 5. Yeah, they've lost 5 games. Yep. So by that measure, the Bills are a better team. But you have that game earlier in the season in prime time where the Ravens went out and just stomped all over the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And that is being used as the measuring stick, along with the fact that over the last couple of weeks, the Ravens have looked very, very good, despite the fact that they may have been playing inferior opponents.
Arguably. Yeah.
So here's what's really bothering me about this game before we really get into it.
What's up?
It's a primetime game in Orchard Park.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be freezing cold.
It's going to be cold.
Freezing cold.
It's going to be a cold one. Like 7 inches from the midday Pluto.
8 degrees, it looks like, is going to be game time temp. The Bills opened as 1.5-point favorites,
mm-hmm.
which really bothered me.
Yeah.
Because the crowd in that stadium has a way to affect the game.
Mm-hmm.
And like a serious way to affect the game.
Definitely.
So the fact that the Bills were losing 1.5 at the home field advantage, because you get 3 points for being the home team,
mm-hmm.
it felt like disrespect to me. As we tape this show right now, it has moved. The Ravens are now 1.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
So they believe on a neutral field, the Ravens are 4.5 points better than this Buffalo Bills team.
They sure do, buddy.
And they believe that despite the fact that every team that comes into Orchard Park has problems getting their stuff, despite the fact that the Bills have not lost a game at home this year,
mm-hmm.
that the Ravens are 1.5 better in Highmark Stadium. And I'm going to be honest with you, man. I don't buy into a lot of bulletin board material. I don't usually, whatever, let's go play the game. This really bothers me. It is a slap in the face to Bills Mafia.
Yeah. And that's just stuff that's like the intangibles that like you would have to kind of dig a little bit to find. You're neglecting that reporter.
I'm not talking about that.
The city of
we're not doing this. The guys, I hate, like, here's the thing. Like, that dude, it's the most hacky 1980s radio bit ever, right? Like, I got no talent. Mm-hmm. I got nothing to say. So here's what I'm going to do. And then tomorrow I'm going to ride a roller coaster for 24 hours straight.
I'm really glad you finally come to terms with your radio career.
Wow. No, I mean, look, that's just it. I'm not talented. I don't even go that low. Yeah. Let me try and start a fight with a whole city that we're playing next week. 5:45. We'll be right back. Shut up. Shut up. Who are you? You're a nobody.
Oh,
the guy's a zero. Anyway.
Oh, man, I got to tune into that guy on my morning commute tomorrow.
Does nothing to even move my needle.
No, like, you're absolutely right. Like, that's a lot of that's a lot of bulletin board material, man. I like I could give you the point, like the favor, you know, what the line. Thank you. I could give you that one, you know, like if you want to say that the Ravens are 1.5-point favorites, like, okay, whatever. But yeah, man, like I everything that leads up to that decision itself, the more you peel away at that disrespectful onion, I'm pretty fired up right now, actually, now that you mention it.
I hope everybody in that stadium is at 11 the entire time.
Yeah, huh?
Just to shove it right up whoever lit that line and put it out right up there, you know what. Okay. So the saving grace for the Buffalo Bills this week as opposed to when they played them in week 4 is obvious. The three amigos are back.
Mm.
That first game, the Bills played without Matt Milano. They played without Terrell Bernard. They played without Taron Johnson.
Both linebackers and then linebacker junior.
You got, thank you, yes. Also, our defensive backfield is playing a heck of a lot better than it was.
Sure.
In those first 5 weeks, arguably.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a very good feeling about this game on Sunday.
Okay.
I have a very, very good feeling about this game on Sunday. I don't believe Lamar Jackson or Derrick Henry have ever played in a game below 20 degrees. Not that 8 to 20 is that much of a difference.
Yeah.
Right? But they are both warm weather guys, and Baltimore does not even get to as close as cold as Orchard Park does.
Very true. And looking at like some of the stats here, like the record below 32 degrees, which again is a far cry between 8 and 32. Mm-hmm. The Ravens are 1-0 this season. The Bills are 2-0. Obviously, mm-hmm. both of those.
Oh, so that means we're better.
Right. If you're looking at some of the Ravens' most recent games in what would have been like cold, air quote, cold weather situations, like they played the Browns at home, they played the Steelers at home, these are all in December, they played at New York against the Giants December 15th. Like,
there's not a whole lot of current experience when it comes to, or a current exposure, let's say, to some serious elements that I think that they're going to be experiencing on Sunday.
All right. So here's, I'm going to give you the reason why I believe the Bills are going to win this game.
Okay.
And I think it comes down to competition within the last 6 weeks. You know, interesting. You just started rattling off teams that the Ravens played.
Yeah, last six games prior, or so including wild card, you have the Steelers, which obviously they won. They played the Browns, the Texans, the Steelers again, and the Giants right before their week 14.
Okay, so there's no...
Or right after, rather.
There's no world beaters there.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I understand the Bills finished up the season with Patriots, Jets, Patriots. Insane there, right?
Lost one of those games, man.
Okay, but you had the Lions in there. You had that Rams game a couple of weeks before that, right? I think the Bills have bullets in the chamber left over from games like that. And I do believe that NFL teams can find a way to get away from what they do best when they play subpar competition because it becomes a little bit easier. That when you get punched in the mouth by a team that is a legitimate NFL team, you forget how to get your wits about you again for a little while. Does that make sense?
No, for sure. I think you could argue that the Bills kind of experienced that
in week four
against the Ravens. You know, like Derrick Henry obviously has that first play and that goes for six and like, okay, bummer. But then I think a lot of people forget, like, the Bills were driving with the game still very much in reach when they tried to pull that cutesy stuff Van Noy got the sack and recovery.
Almost took off Josh Allen's head.
Exactly. So, like, I think, like, that was, and you haven't seen a lot of that cutesy stuff. I mean, nothing really comes to mind.
I'll give Joe Brady the credit here. He was, when that happened, he realized that was a mistake.
Right.
We're just going to play football.
Yeah. You know, eat crow and then move on. But unfortunately, the game just got away from him. I feel good about it too. Like I think if we're talking about like revenge tour, you know, this is exactly what you would want as a Bills fan. Like don't get me wrong. Like I wanted the Chargers to upset the Texans so that we would have a different. Or I'm sorry, I wanted the Steelers to upset the Ravens so that we could have the Steelers come to Orchard Park because I would love to see that because I think it would give the Bills a better chance than Baltimore at the time to get to the AFC Championship game and then the Super Bowl.
Okay. Here's the cherry on top of the why we're okay Sunday.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
I brought up the disrespect from the line.
Mm-hmm.
I brought up the disrespect from the national media, completely ignoring the fact that the Bills' three best defensive players were not dressed that day.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest disrespect to the pettiest man maybe on the planet.
You?
Recently happened. No, I'm petty, but I'm not even close to as petty as Josh Allen.
Tom?
Remember, we found out that Josh Allen's family sends him slights from the media to inspire him.
And no one has called the proper authorities or Child Protective Services.
We also know that the game before he had the perfect playoff game against New England, his quarterback coach called him up. That was the year he was voted as a Pro Bowl alternate and said, hey, congratulations on being named a Pro Bowl alternate. And then he went out and lit the world on fire. This week, Josh Allen was named second team All-Pro behind Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, which I think a lot of people look as like that's the marker
of MVP.
And then also, too, I found this out after the game. I commented it on. I referenced the shirt that Josh Allen was wearing walking into the stadium where it said FEA. I didn't know what that stood for. I made a funny joke. Everybody laughed. I found out after the fact that FEA apparently stands for FM all, as in F them all. I think you could look at that as a direct response. And again, this was after the All-Pro votes or All-Pro results came out. I think you can look at those and see a direct correlation between Josh Allen being like, okay, let's go put on a clinic. Which actually, and I just want to take back something that I said earlier in the season, because I said, Josh doesn't care about MVP. Josh just wants to go out and do his best. I'm on the other side of that one now. I think Josh is motivated to be like F-E-A. Oh my God, I'm so jacked up.
All right.
Six to midnight, baby.
All right, so as we told you, the Bills are 1.5-point dogs at home where they haven't lost a game all season to a team with more losses that was a lower seed in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Do the Bills win?
Mm-hmm.
And if not, do they keep it within a point?
I cannot wait to watch this game. I'm going to be there. It's going to be awesome. Come and find me. Ravens 6,493, Buffalo 3. Let's go. Let's go.
If anyone would like to apply to be the new co-host of Let's Go Duffalo, get at me.
Get at him on Instagram and TikTok at let's.go.duffalo.
All right, you got two teams that have a lot of good things going for them right now. The defenses have been fixed for both sides, it seems. The running games are phenomenal. The quarterbacks are MVP worthy.
Mm-hmm.
The difference, I believe, is the home field advantage.
Okay.
And I think the difference is big moments, because what's interesting about this game is both of these quarterbacks have been criticized the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Not the quarterbacks, excuse me. Both these teams have been criticized the last couple of years for not being able to rise to the moment.
Right.
So who rises to the moment? Is it Lamar Jackson on the road with a stadium screaming in his face, a place where he had the opportunity to win a playoff game in the past
with no fans in the stands?
And exactly. And threw a 104-yard pick six to Taron Johnson. Didn't finish that game.
Yeah.
Or is it a man who is beloved, king of his community, king of his community? For that reason alone.
King of the castle. Two Borat references this show.
Stop referencing anything ever again. For that reason alone, I like the Bills to win this game.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's one of these, both teams score every possession, you make one mistake, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's one of these, both of the teams with their good running games are going to try and control the clock and keep the ball out of the hands of the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, too, because both of these teams' running games have the potential to explode, like, you know, hit a chunk play, which completely eliminates the whole we're going to take the keep the ball out of your hand and control the clock thing.
But also, too, but no, there's, like, TOP is a huge part. Time of possession is a huge point in the running game, too.
No, I get it, but I'm saying, like, you know, we've seen Derrick Henry break off 50, 60, 70-yard runs. We've seen James Cook break off 40, 50, 60-yard runs.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Hey, we're going to grind the ball, and he scored. Damn it.
We want him to do that. We want the ball back, baby. Yeah, good idea. I'm so jacked up, right? I'm going to punch a hole in your wall here, and I'm going to break my hand.
And look, the bottom line is this, man. Legacies get changed for a couple of players and coaches this weekend, because if the Bills lose this game, it'll be the third straight year they lose in the divisional round. If the Ravens lose this game, Lamar Jackson becomes, I mean, look, you're not going to be able to argue that he's close to Josh Allen right now, right? So it's a legacy game and an opportunity to go play for a Super Bowl. Bills do it. I feel good.
Okay.
Let's do this thing.
Let's go.
So like we always say in the playoffs, no matter what happens, we will be back next week.
Yes.
To either recap or look forward to an AMC championship game.
Indeed.
His name is Ryan Duffy.
Bye.
By the way, if they want to get us on social media, where can they find us?
They can find us on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm used to my other
shows. Yeah, oh, what happened? And you were making fun of me a second ago.
You can find us on social media, on Instagram and on TikTok at let's.go.duffalo.
My name is Pat Duffy. His name is Ryan Duffy.
Bye.
And before we go, one last time.
Go!